grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I think I've mentioned once or twice, or at least I should have, that I like to play board games, card games, trivia games. How about the game of Uno? I would venture to guess that most of you have played it, or at least you know how the game works, right? Well, from the box, Uno is the highly popular card game played by millions around the globe. This game is played by matching and then discarding the cards in one's hand till none are left. That sounds about right. According to the rules, this is the object of the game. The first player to play all of the cards in their hand each round scores points for the cards their opponents are left holding. The first player to score 500 points wins the game. The first person to score 500 points wins the game. All right, so imagine with me that you are sitting around the kitchen table playing a game of Uno with three or four people. It's been a good game. You've had some luck with the cards you've gotten, but you've also played with some good strategy. And at the end of the current hand, you should easily earn enough points to score well over 500 to win the game. Just as you are about to lay down your last card and claim your victory with the most points, someone pipes up and says, wait a minute. Hold on. You're playing by the wrong rules. Actually, the person with the lowest score is the winner. And you might be surprised. You might be shocked, maybe a little in disbelief. Top it all off with a little bit of anger, because he played really good this hand. And you frustratedly exclaim that the person with the highest score is the winner, the better player, because you worked hard for those points. You see your voice and your anger continue to rise. You deserve to win. Those are the rules that you know and the rules that you've always played by. Thank you very much. These new rules are nothing short of ridiculous. And with disdain and resentment in your voice, you say they don't make sense. The loser doesn't become the winner. The person with the lowest score doesn't win. These new rules have turned everything upside down. This isn't how this is supposed to be. This isn't how things are supposed to work. Brothers and sisters, siblings in Christ, that's exactly what Jesus is saying in today's gospel lesson. Jesus turns absolutely everything upside down. He says, "Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." And by the way, none of us in this sanctuary are poor. So none of us receive that blessing. Ouch! Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Blessed are you who are hungry, for you will be filled. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. And Jesus keeps going on, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, lend expecting nothing in return. Do not judge, forgive, and be merciful as your Father is merciful. Ooh, that's a lot of upside down thinking there, Jesus. Because the problem is that there are a lot of directions out there. And in the Sermon on the Plain, all of those words that we read today, in those verses, Jesus clearly describes what the kingdom of God looks like. And the truth is, it looks night and day different from everything that we know in the world around us. So different, in fact, that it might rub us the wrong way. Maybe even more than that, we might not like it. You see, we much prefer the ways of the world, so we avoid, maybe ignore, maybe even go as far as to resist the ways of the kingdom of God found in the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Plain. And sadly, that's how a lot of Christians choose to live their lives. Because the kingdom of this world seems a little more appealing, does it not? Because blessed are those who are rich in the kingdom of this world. Blessed are those who have power. Blessed are those who look like us and speak the same language as us. Blessed are those who are in the same income bracket that we are in. The kingdom of the world tells us that not only is blessing something that we can achieve, it's something that we deserve. And if we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, then we will earn that blessedness. The kingdom of this world defines blessing by measuring our status, the amount of power we have over others, by measuring our wealth and possessions. And anything different, we find downright offensive. I get it. It's easy to be tempted into this way of thinking, to be thrown off course in following these non-Kingdom of God values and working for non-Kingdom of God things. We see what other people have, what they wear, what they look like, and we want it. And we let fear and greed and envy and jealousy motivate us. The truth is, we don't want to be merciful like God is merciful. But that's the thing about mercy. When greed and power have become idols, we will find mercy offensive. So I guess a few weeks ago when we read from Luke chapter 4, Jesus at the temple in Nazareth proclaiming, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set those who are oppressed free." I guess Jesus was pretty serious in his mission statement. And he lays it all out. He fleshes it all out in this Sermon on the Plain, both the Beatitudes and the latter portion that we read today. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago when I preached that the gospel isn't meant to give us warm fuzzies or pat us on the back, but that instead the good news of Jesus Christ should challenge us, because the gospel shows us the truth of who God is and who God wants us to be and how God wants us to live? Nowhere else did Jesus' words convict us more than in the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Plain. The thing is, they shouldn't catch us off guard, because Jesus didn't create his own mission or ministry on his own or pull it out of thin air. Jesus is God in the flesh, and Jesus is simply fulfilling and continuing the work that God has been doing all along. Over and over and over again in Scripture, we see that God has always loved and cared for the outsiders, those on the margins, the poor and the hungry. There are over 2,000 times in Scripture that God's people are called to care for the poor. 2,000 times. Jesus isn't saying anything new in this Sermon on the Mount or in the Beatitudes. All he's doing is clearly stating what the heart of God looks like and what the kingdom of God looks like. Whew. But to not just hear, but to do the Beatitudes and to live out the Sermon on the Plain is very costly discipleship. Very costly. Jesus doesn't mince words when it comes to following him, what it will look like to be like him and to do like him. It's going to look like deep compassion for everybody, not just those that you want to have compassion for. It's going to look like sacrificial love, like pouring oneself out for others and suffering for others. Again, those others are people that you don't want them to be. Jesus laid down reverse card after reverse card after reverse card. His teaching, his yoke, is the great reversal. The world endorses greed. Jesus throws down a reverse card with generosity. The world endorses violence and harming others. Jesus throws down a reverse card and says peace. And by the way, we're not just called to be peacekeepers, we're called to be peacemakers. That's a very active verb there, be a peacemaker. Jesus throws down the reverse card and says, no, you're to lay your life down for one another. The world endorses power and lording it over others. Jesus throws down a reverse card, humbles himself, empties himself of all power, even to the point of death on a cross. He reverses power and lording it over others with gentleness and with meekness. The truth about the God we follow is that Jesus' life and death and resurrection turned and continues to turn everything upside down. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to join Jesus in that work, to follow Jesus' directions and not the directions of the world. When we pray that God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, we are called to help make that happen. That's part of what we do as Jesus followers. To live out the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Plain is what that looks like. But that means that we're going to have to be like Jesus, and we're going to have to do like Jesus. And that means we're going to have a pocket full of reverse cards, because we're going to be laying one down after the other, after the other, after the other. The call of discipleship, true discipleship, faithful discipleship, is to help Jesus keep turning the world upside down. May we have the courage, the deep courage, to follow Jesus and help live out his great reversal. Amen.